Good morning. This is Long Island Morning Edition on 88.3 WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey. Long Island school districts will get an additional $205.6 million in state aid for the 2024-25 academic year, up 4.24% from the current year, as part of a state budget pieced together amid continued debate over future funding. John Hildebrand and Ariel Martinez report on Newsday.com that the financial package for Nassau and Suffolk counties, totaling more than $5 billion, represents a $64.9 million increase from Governor Kathy Hochul's proposed budget in January. Hochul and legislative leaders agreed on increases last week after determining state tax revenues were running higher than expected. Albany's spending agreement comes 19 days late. New York State lawmakers voted for the budget finally this past Saturday. Bob Vecchio, executive director of the Nassau-Suffolk School Boards Association, voiced relief over the approval of an aid package, but said he remains concerned over what might happen in 2025-26 and beyond. Lawmakers have agreed to a study led by the Albany-based Rockefeller Institute that could result in recalibration of the state's formula for distributing aid. "We are grateful that the governor and the legislature have finally come to an agreement," Vecchio said Friday. "While many school districts avoided steep reductions in aid this year, we are very concerned with looking ahead to next year and what changes to the formula will be made in the near future." A payroll tax credit for local news outlets modeled on the Local Journalism Sustainability Act is included in the final state budget that Governor Kathy Hochul and the New York State Legislature unveiled this past Saturday, making New York the first state in the nation to incentivize hiring and retaining local journalists. New York State Senator Brad Hoylman Sigel, the Senate bill sponsor, said, "A thriving local news industry is vital to the health of our democracy, and it's our responsibility to help ensure New Yorkers have access to independent and community-focused journalism." Over 200 local publications of the Empire State Local News Coalition helped pass the bill. "The passage of this bill, which is the first of its kind in America, is truly monumental for community journalism," Express News Group publishers Gavin and Catherine Manu said in a joint statement. Quote, "With the nation divided on so many important issues, we believe the work of community journalism, focusing on hyper-local issues that affect our readers' everyday lives, is more important than ever." The program, $30 million per year for 3 years, allows each eligible newspaper and broadcast business to receive a refundable tax credit. The MTA and law enforcement agencies seized 21 cars and issued nearly 800 summonses last week during a two-day operation targeting persistent toll violators and other traffic offenders. Darwin Yanes reports on Newsday.com that the targeted multi-agency operation seized the vehicles for violations including unpaid tolls, unregistered and suspended licenses, among other traffic infractions. The operation was conducted on Thursday at the Robert F. Kennedy Bridge and on Friday at the Throgsneck Bridge, George Washington Bridge, and Lincoln Tunnel, according to the MTA. Some Long Island Railroad riders have been issued IOU invoices for unpaid train tickets for more than 100 times within just 6 months and owe thousands of dollars for those trips, according to the MTA's list of fare beaters obtained by Newsday. Alfonso A. Castillo reports on Newsday.com that as the LIRR's list of repeat offenders grows, so too has the number of invoices issued to passengers who say they can't pay for their rides, up 60% last year from about 100,000 in 2022 to nearly 160,000 in 2023, according to MTA figures. The LIRR's most persistent evader, according to the data, received 155 invoices as of September, totaling $2,154 in unpaid tickets, the most owed by any person on the list. MTA officials said the list reflects 6 months of data, which means the individual skipped out on 155 fares in about 180 days, even though Metropolitan Transportation Authority officials have acknowledged that sending scofflaws home with bills that most never pay doesn't work. The system remains in place, recently augmented with increased police enforcement. The 10 passengers who have skipped out the most on the most fares received 1,119 separate bills, totaling $17,108. Gerard Brinkman, chairman of the LIRR Commuter Council, an advocacy group, said he knows for a long time about the list, and he said it's transit shoplifting. Shoplifting incidents reported to county police departments on Long Island last year rose nearly 20%, as retail experts and law enforcement officials say thieves have become more brazen. Tori N. Parrish reports on Newsday.com that to mitigate the losses, some retailers are locking up everything from skincare products to liquor to lawn care equipment to laundry detergent. Law enforcement and retail experts cited several factors for the spike in thefts: organized retail crime rings selling more stolen merchandise online, fewer employees working on sales floors, more self-checkout lanes making it easier to steal, and the rising cost of living on Long Island. Another factor, law enforcement officials said, is New York State's bail reform law, which ended cash bail in most cases that involved misdemeanors and nonviolent felonies. Some criminal justice researchers, however, dispute that claim. Shoplifters have gotten bolder, retail experts said. In Suffolk County, reports of petty larceny shoplifting rose 23% between 2022 and 2023, while reports of grand larceny shoplifting fell, yet are still higher than 2019. For the first time ever, the Shelter Island Friends of Music and the Pearlman Music Program are presenting a Works in Progress chamber concert at the Shelter Island Presbyterian Church, featuring 21 gifted young musicians, including 14 from Israel. The event takes place this coming Thursday at 7 p.m. Pearlman Music Program has featured an Israel residency for its young students since 1999. This year, more than ever, we are focused on fulfilling our commitment to nurturing young Israeli string players by providing them with a much-needed safer space to hone their craft, says the Pearlman Music Program. As always, admission is free. That's at the Shelter Island Presbyterian Church this Thursday at 7 p.m. The town of East Hampton now has $4.2 million in its community housing fund, and over the next several months, the town's Community Housing Advisory Board is asking the town to begin spending that money on two pilot programs for first-time homebuyer loans and loans to create accessory dwelling units, and for larger projects that will be reviewed by the Housing Advisory Board. Town Housing Director Eric Shantz gave the East Hampton Town Board an overview of the plan at the board's work session last Tuesday. Beth Young and East End Beacon reports that four of the five East End towns, except for Riverhead, created community housing funds last year after voters approved referenda asking whether the town should instate a 0.5% real estate transfer tax to be used for workforce housing, which would operate like the Community Preservation Fund for land preservation. Director Shantz said that with the average price of a home in East Hampton standing at about $1 million, a $30,000 loan wouldn't go as far if it was applied to residents who plan to buy homes on the open market. His office is instead planning to offer the loans to people looking to buy homes in the town's Whalebone and Green Hollow housing complexes, or at the 16-lot Cantwell Court subdivision currently under construction, where homes are expected to sell in the neighborhood of $500,000 because the town will still own the underlying land. Mr. Shantz said he anticipates the town could make $20,000, $30,000 loans this year on the Cantwell Court properties. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.